Let's grab a word with Fevzi Turkop, our gadget detective, who's across all things technology this week. Fevzi, great to get you on again. What a story this is. Is your phone listening in? Hope not. Some of the nonsense I talk on it.
Well, what can I say? I'm sure that's not true.
what's the story here, though? Yeah. This is quite scary. If this is true, this is scary.
So we know that Facebook makes its money, a lot of its money out of advertising, most of its money out of advertising. And there are those that have come to believe that the microphones on their smartphones are being listened in on by Facebook. And the evidence that they quote to support this, which, by the way, has been categorically denied by Facebook, so probably important to say that first. But there's sort of circumstantial evidence. For my fiance and I, both had wedding ads the day after we got engaged before we'd told anybody. We bought the ring on the spur of the moment and never looked anything up online, because otherwise Google would know. And then it said, and even 2 weeks ago, my fiance and I went to a friend's and drank a certain type of liqueur that neither of us had ever bought or talked about before. The next morning, it was the first ad that Facebook showed her.
That's really strange.
Yeah, but on the other hand, and far be it for me to stick up for Facebook, because, you know, one doesn't do that. But if you imagine how many ads Facebook serves to how many billions of users that it has, that, you know, coincidences like that will happen. That's not to say they don't do it or that they do, but there are some people now who are convinced upon it and of it. And there are, you know, those sorts of circumstantial cases. We know, I mean, even if that were to happen, which is creepy, I mean, we know that, for example, Google scans the contents of Gmail emails. So you think you've got a free email account with Google's Gmail. And as we've often said before, if you're not paying for the product, you are the product. And with Gmail, they scan the contents and then they give you appropriate ads. So if you say, oh, I'm thinking of going to Spain, you will start getting ads for flights to Spain or Spanish lessons or something similar. And that happens and people kind of accept it. But I guess it's one stage on in the creepy stakes to actually have it listening in on phone calls, because, conversations in the room, because at least with an email, you're, you know, committing something into writing that you intend to send to a third party. It's not necessarily the same as a casual remark. And we have to be, you know, similarly cautious of these other devices, like, you know, Amazon's Echo and Google's Home devices. These are the devices that you speak to and then they tell you the weather or the traffic or sing you a song or read you a book, whatever it is. And there's a button on those where you press it and a red light comes on. It tells you the microphone is off. I have these devices in my home, and I can tell you I unplug them before I say anything at all sensitive to anybody. I'm not known for being sensitive, but if the subject is sensitive, I actually unplug them. The problem will come when things like your fridge freezer have got microphones in it, because not so easily unplugged, frankly. And we've seen it also with television sets, haven't we?
Yes, exactly.
That TVs with voice input, which is great, you know, you can control them by voice, they send recordings of what you say off to a special computer which interprets it and sends back the response. So I think this is the way of things. Whether or not Facebook itself does this at this point, we have to realise that our smartphones are the ultimate bugs. And you know, what an achievement if it's a dystopian society where every citizen has to pay for their own bug and it costs them about £500. But, you know, we only learned the other day that when we give an app permission to access the camera, it has the ability to snap pictures or video at any time. Doesn't have to be just when the app is running or at the intended moment.
It is frightening. I mean, obviously, you know, as you said, there's no actual direct proof of some of this, is it?
There's no proof that Facebook does it, and as I say, they've denied it. However, there have been at least several instances of apps that have misbehaved and listened in on audio and cameras. And in fact, there was a school in the States, they were giving out laptops to their students for their use. And what they didn't tell them is that they put this sort of spy software on there so that they could watch their students in their homes.
Good heavens.
Very, very inappropriate. Someone thought that was a good idea.
Let's change subjects on to a computer that's going to go up for sale. And it's, well, it was the first one ever to use a mouse. Tell us more.
Yeah, so this is how it's built. So this is an auction of a computer from 1983 called the Apple Lisa One. And it was one of the first, I'll tell you this because I beg to differ with this, it was one of the first that had a windowing type operating system with icons and a mouse that could click on them. And I know this computer because back in 1983 I used it. I worked for a company who had something called the Zoo, where they would keep all their competitors' products for us to learn about and practice on. And one of them was the Apple Lisa, which came before the Mac. I think Lisa was Steve Jobs' daughter's name, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So it was that. And it was a lot like, it was the forerunner to the Mac. So before that, you had the Apple and the Apple II, which were sort of, just command line. You know, you'd have to type in commands into a flashing cursor sort of thing. So this was a big deal. But it, strictly speaking, it might have been the first commercial computer, but it wasn't the first computer because Apple took the idea of windowing operating system and mouse from a project that was being run by a company called Xerox, known for their photocopiers. And there was something quite well known called the Palo Alto project. And Steve Jobs saw that and took it from there, but I think he paid for it. I mean, I don't think they stole it, but the concept was probably more correctly Xerox's.
Fascinating. And this could fetch quite a lot at auction.
£30,000, they reckon.
Aww.
Well, you know, I mean, the Apple One, which is made partly of wood and was made in a garage, those things go for an absolute fortune. There's one of them in the Science Museum in London.
Incredible.
So, you know, these things, it's quite interesting for me, you know. I go into the Science Museum and I own a lot of the stuff, and that's when you know you're old.
Is that,
and there's... there's an empty chair sitting at the end with my name and it's just waiting for me to retire.
Tell us about your gadget of the week, Fevzy, before I let you go.
Gadget of the week is from a company called Kit Sound, K-I-T Sound, all one word. It's a wireless speaker called the Slam 2, which gets it just for the name, if nothing else. There's loads of wireless speakers. Why have I chosen this one? It's got a number of really nice aspects to it. First of all, it's about 10 inches long. It's sort of banana-shaped. It's curved. So the front middle is sticking out and the two edges recede backwards. So it's a very stylish shape. It's kind of a rubberized finish to it. So it's kind of nice. It's got a nice sort of feel to it. Works. You can plug in a sound source with a cable. You can do it via Bluetooth. You can charge the device. So let's say you're playing music from your smartphone. The speaker will keep your smartphone charged up. It's splashproof. It's called IPX4 rating, which it doesn't mean waterproof, but if it gets the odd splash, it's likely to survive it. 20 watts output total, 10 watts RMS each channel, and 10 hours of life per charge, and it takes about 4 hours to charge it up. So for a small device, actually sounds remarkably good. We'll do a good job of sort of filling a room with sound. Not bad space response for its size, but I just really like the design. It sort of set it apart from the others, and those extra features like the ability to keep a device charged up itself.
And what's it going to cost you?
£59.99.
Not bad at all. Fevzy, great to talk to you. Thank you very
Cheers.
Much for that. Fevzy Turkup, the Gadget Detective. Do check him out on Twitter. And we'll talk to him again same time next Monday.